Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Thank you for joining us once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly dive into the weird, the strange, the unusual, the unnatural, the paranormal, the supernatural, all that good stuff. The true life experiences of our friends and guests here on the podcast, on this internet radio station. I'm your host, Adam Beebe. With me, as always, is my good buddy, Barry Johnston.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well. Had a little bit of snowstorm. When I say little, I mean very small. I'm not even a dusting, really. And it just got cold. So we are kind of on the tail end of that, and it's starting to warm back up, so it won't even stick around. So, which sucks. If it's going to be cold, I'd rather have snow on the ground. Something to look at.
Yeah, I like snow on the ground. As long as the roads are clear, I'm totally fine with snow, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you know.
And you guys probably have the road crews to take care of that kind of stuff relatively well. Here, if we get an inch of snow around here, everybody freaks out.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a few cold days here recently, but it warmed up for a few days, you know, like in the even in the 60s, and now it's cooling back down. It's going to be kind of a wave, but you know,
yeah,
that's just I guess that's the wave of the future. So
right. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about how we remember how much it used to snow here in the winter and
ice.
And we used to the snow drifts you could build, you know, tunnels and forts and stuff into, and we don't get that very much anymore. And I don't know, but it has been fairly cold. The freaking flu bug has been out of control. I've been hearing that
all over,
and it's been relentless around here. And apparently somebody told me that I guess it's called the super bug or something like that, where it morphs. And somebody told me that, I think it's the flu. It was some sort of sickness that was going around. It had attached itself to allergy spores or something, and like it gets into your system and it acts like allergies, but then it turns into the whatever it is, the flu or these, like, whatever these illnesses are that we get, which I thought was really fascinating, how those things morph and get their way into your system. Weird stuff.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of weird.
Yep.
Today, our guest is Chris, and Chris has got a lot of great weird stories, as you would imagine. Chris is one of our very first guests that we found off of Reddit. We went on to Reddit and we posted, hey, we're looking for people to, be on the podcast, share their weird stories. And he responded, and he responded with, oh, I got this one thing. And of course, it's never just the one thing, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, he's had quite a few things, and they're great, great stories. And so we're really excited that, you know, that experiment worked, and we're gonna, you know, try to do some more with Reddit, maybe even make a subreddit for the podcast once we figure out how to do that. Neither Barry and I are the most best put together for social media kind of things.
And the Reddit thing is just so crazy. Where do you begin?
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. I don't even know. I'm waiting in, and you know, there's these etiquettes and things, and you have to approach the moderators of different subreddits and ask permission to make post. And if you don't, they get really like you know, self-important, right, and like ban you. You're banned for life because, right, you didn't ask.
Oh, okay, my. Okay, dude.
I'm sorry. If you take a look, you'll see that I haven't been on Reddit for like, I've been on Reddit for less than a week.
Right,
you know, maybe like a hand slap or something, but no. They don't even respond when you're like, apologize. So anyway.
I used to go on to this. This reminds me. I used to go on to this website it was for people that are into audio equipment.
Uh-huh.
And about 15 years ago, it was civil. Like, you could go on there, you could post something, and you would get an answer of, like, somebody's, like, trying to help. But it got to the point where you would ask a question, and then it's like the next response was like, why the fuck would you do that? Why would you run this piece of gear at, you know, like,
it was
just like so assaulting, man. It was like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Well, you know, honestly, I think especially on the internet, just about everywhere, it's become, you know, if you get into any kind of specialty subject matter or interest group or anything like that, it becomes this kind of elitism.
Yeah.
You know, that, and then so, you know, people who think that they know more than you, you know, just get all, you know, nobody tries to be helpful, but answers with cynicism. So
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like that, because, like, you know, if you went into a store to ask that, you know, you wouldn't get that kind of response.
Of course not.
Because, you know, I mean, because you're dealing with somebody face to face. And that's one of the downfalls of our internet culture, is that everybody from all over the world can be on it. They can respond in a way that may be culturally different and misinterpreted, or they can just be dicks. And a lot of times people just choose to be dicks because they don't have to suffer the repercussions of their actions.
Right.
So,
that's in a nutshell, that's what you're dealing with when you get on to those sites. But Chris was awesome, man. And he had some great stories, and we can't wait for people to hear him, because it really, he does have a plethora of different types of weird stories. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, so Chris, we appreciate you not being a dick and responding to us and coming on the show. So, hey, Chris, what's your weird story?
Thank you guys for having me on. Got quite a few, actually. I'm going to start with hauntings that I have experienced.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Goes way back. Pretty much all my life, I've experienced a lot of different hauntings. For example, according to what my mother has told me, when I was a child, like 2, 3, 4-ish, I used to have conversations with somebody she didn't see. Full conversations.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody who was responding. I was responding to what they were saying.
How old were you?
I was about 2, 2.5, and it started.
Wow.
And then apparently it continued until I was about 5.
Wow.
At first, she just thought it was, you know, little kid, imaginary friend kind of thing.
Right.
Until there was one day, I was, if I remember what my mom told me correctly, 4, me, her, and my grandmother were sitting down, going through a family photo album.
Mm-hmm.
And I started telling them who the people in the pictures were. These were all people who passed away before.
Wow.
And then they asked me how I knew this, and I explained to them that the person I had been having conversations with was a woman the family knew as Grandma Grace. Grandma Grace was grandmother's mother.
Okay.
Wow.
Who had passed away about 6 months, I believe, before.
Okay, so it's your great grandmother. Would that be right? Your mother, yes, your grandmother's mother, right?
It's my mom's mother, and Grace was that grandmother's mother.
Okay. So yep. So great grandmother. Cool.
Maternal great grandmother.
Okay.
that was like the first big one, and my mom and grandma really didn't know how to respond to that. You know, me telling them that I'm having conversations, regular conversations with, you know, a dead relative who's telling me all about the family.
Damn.
Right.
That was the first big one for a while, and then when I was a teenager, I used to spend a lot of weekends with my dad's parents.
Mm-hmm.
My paternal grandmother had inherited from her brother.
Okay.
Okay.
In when he passed. And while living in that house, or the time I spent in that house, you'd hear what we knew to be my grandma's brother walking up the stairs from the basement. We knew it was him because he walked with a cane and had a pretty severe limp, and it was a very distinct rhythm.
Yeah.
Right.
Where you'd hear the creak of the handrail, the thump from the cane, and then two steps.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And every day when he would come home from work, he would first go down into the basement where he kept a desk and file cabinets and stuff, do some stuff down in the basement, and then would come up into the house proper.
Man.
And it was just every day, around about the about 4:30, around about the time, you know, this would always happen.
Wow. Every day.
For years after he passed, this you'd hear the same, the creak, the thump, and then the two steps coming up the steps. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And also, my grandfather that lived in that same house was always really bad about leaving the kitchen cabinets open. Mm. And my grandmother's parents were very, very strict when they were alive about you open the door, you close the door.
Yep.
Didn't matter if it was a door to a room, cabinets, whatever.
Yep.
And then when I was staying there with them, I'd be in a different room, and it would almost be like I'd hear someone yell to close the cabinets.
Wow.
And I'd get up, and I'd walk into the other room, or into the kitchen and stuff, and there'd be a cabinet left open because Grandpa never bothered to close the cabinets. Yeah. And I'd reach up and I'd close the cabinet, and like I would feel like the energy of the kitchen just relax.
Wow.
Wow. That's wild. Because usually, you know, when you hear about spirits in the kitchen, it's usually them opening the cabinets and leaving them open and such.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's wild,
which is always a really kind of funny thing to me about life. Like, this is the opposite of how it usually
right, goes, exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
And that was kind of the big experience while I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then there was, for a little while, I was living in Troy, Illinois.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know where that is.
Lot of stuff that I experienced in Troy. A lot.
Really?
I used to walk down the road to the library to used to read a lot when I had the free time and stuff. And you know, didn't want to waste the gas money, so I'd go ahead and walk. Well, on the walkway, the way I'd walk, there's a small cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And having the weird experiences I did and kind of weird person I am.
You're not the only one.
I'd wander through the cemetery now and again, look at the headstones. There's a lot of them that, you know, 150-year-old headstones and whatnot. But there was one time I was coming back from the library to my house, and I felt something grab my hand. Ooh. Like full on, like grab and squeeze like a little kid.
Whoa.
Grabbing your hand to walk with you.
Oh man.
Wow.
And for
I just
about
got goosebumps.
for about a good half a mile, it felt like I was walking with a little kid.
Wow.
Dang.
And the next time I went back by the graveyard, there's a whole section of the graveyard where it's all kids.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Any
particular reason for that, or do you know?
Not that I know of. I think it was just a whole lot of they were just really young when they passed, and
yeah,
this one section of the graveyard was for kids.
Right. Wow.
And I was going through there, and the oldest kid in this one section was probably about 11.
Wow.
Okay.
I wonder if it was like a, because usually, I mean, I wonder if they don't, if they were like orphans or something like that, where they didn't have family to be buried with. But then again, I don't know. Maybe it was just a custom there that they had, you know, that the kids were in their own section, or maybe it was a large family. Who knows? But you know, and it's not. I mean, it's. I guess everybody thinks it's weird now. Mm. Or most everybody thinks it's weird now to walk through, you know, cemeteries and everything. But, you know, like, you know, 100 years ago or 150 years ago, people would go and have, you know, picnics in their days out. They would, you know, just make a day of it. And they were totally fine with it. And they had a whole different concept about, you know, death and about the immediacy of it and how it's part of life, you know, it wasn't so far removed, you know, it was part of it, you know, more, much more of it, upfront part of it. And so that's why they would go and they would, you know, do that stuff. And it's, you know, there's something that's, I think there's something that's lost, with that. And there's like it's a better thing for the healing process or something, I don't know, but yeah, like you said, graveyards are they're cool to walk through. So.
Oh yeah, that's always the attitude I've had toward it, is that you know, this is something interesting to do, interesting to look at, and interesting to think about.
Yeah,
and you know, I've never really been afraid of death or being around that whole situation, so
that's good.
I think Night of the Living Dead and zombie movies probably helped.
probably. But then I play a lot of video games, so I like to think I'd know how to handle that situation.
Right.
And then another experience I had while I was living in Troy was the actual house I lived in. There was, I only ever saw it once or twice, like saw it, but I would hear probably about once a week. It was about 2:30 in the morning ish. Civil War era soldier. Face was unclear, but the clothes were pretty distinct. That would come out of the bathroom, walk down the hall, and then out the door.
Damn.
Wow.
And like I said, only saw it once or twice. I lived in that house for about 3 years. I only ever saw it once or twice.
Was it an old Civil War house? I mean, was it an old, you know, old house, or was it?
The house wasn't old, but from what I was able to find in what I looked up, there was a part of the Illinois regiments stationed in that area for a significant amount of time during the Civil War.
Okay. Wow. That kind of stuff is cool. We've had a few people on here talk about you know, that era of ghosts and hauntings and that's crazy. So what, like, you're very calm about all this, by the way. do you ever get freaked out, man? Like you see something like that, you see a freaking Civil War soldier. I mean, what goes through your mind?
Those experiences, the ones I've talked about so far, those never really scared me.
Okay.
Okay.
There's one I'm kind of working up to because this one does scare me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I was already scared, so.
Yeah.
This one, and I talked about this one a little bit with Adam.
Okay.
This one did scare me really bad. For a little while, I worked with a home rental company.
Yep.
And I was one of the guys that would go in and clean up the houses for people to move in. And there was this one house me and another guy went to that from the moment we parked the truck in front of this house, I'm just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I kept telling the guy, I don't want to be here. And he's just like, okay, like, we just got to do this. You know, we're getting paid to do this job. We got to do this. We'll make it quick. We go in the whole time. We're busting tail trying to get this done as quick as possible. Because the whole time I'm like, I don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here. And then we went down into the basement. And I'm just like, no, they're like, we got to get done now. Like, no, no.
Oh.
And then there's this one little storage room off to the back of the basement. I opened the door. The door opened like away from me. I opened the door and something slammed me in the chest. Like a physical
push,
fist, like punch. Wow. More than a push.
Wow.
Like,
wow. Wow.
Did like not... hard enough it knocked the wind out of me. Wow. And I had to step back.
Damn.
And I legitimately I turned around to the guy I was with. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I walked out. I walked out. I went and I sat in the truck.
Wow. And, where was this again? No, was this in Troy also?
No, this was in, well, not really, in kind of outside Collinsville, Illinois.
Okay. Gotcha.
And for the people who live around Collinsville, Illinois, there's what's referred to as the Seven Gates.
Okay.
Which is these seven train trellises.
Mm-hmm.
That urban legend for the area goes, if you drive through all of them in the same night, you're gonna die.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
That's the urban legend, because apparently this has happened to more than one person where they drove through all of them in the same night and mysterious circumstances, they died. And this house is in the same area as these gates.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of energy that's pooling there or something.
Right. Well, I was sitting in the truck after walking out of the basement, like my chest hurt. Like I had been hit in the chest really hard. Mm-hmm. And I looked down, and this is kind of in and of itself kind of a big deal for me. It left a bruise.
Wow. Damn. So it was hard enough to leave a bruise.
Damn.
Which is a big deal for me, because anybody who knows me, I don't bruise easily.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
It was just flat out something. And it was a distinct, like, handprint bruise. Like, fingers, palm of the hand, the whole...
So it was like an outspread... Like an outspread hand.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a fist, but like a slap. Wow.
Yes.
You can create you can create a lot of energy with an open hand. You know? Yeah. Like That is freaky stuff, man. So you felt that before you even got in the house. You were like, I don't want to freaking go in there. And then you were in there. And then you had, we've got a lot of basement stories lately. A lot of stuff about basements, man. I'm glad I don't have a basement right now. Wow, man.
Yeah, I'm sitting there, you know, looking at my chest, looking at this handprint bruise on my chest. And the guy I worked with came out. And he just goes, like, you just bailed. And I pulled my shirt down and showed him. And he just looks at that and just turned around, went back, locked the doors on the house, got in the truck, left, pulled up his cell phone, called our boss, and said, if you want the rest of this house cleaned out, you got to get somebody else in here. Wow. We're not doing it.
Wow, man. Wow.
And he told his boss, like, exactly what I experienced, the whole nine yards. And we went to the boss and showed the boss the bruise. And boss's response was, I got another haunted one.
Oh, wow. So he's had this before.
Man. Well, he was telling me there was another house he owned.
Right.
Right.
That this house was evil, he said.
Wow.
Because they had doors leaning up against the wall that fell on one of the workers there.
Wow.
They had the city electrical workers came in, disconnected the house from the lines. So this house should have been completely dead, no electric.
Yeah.
And they were still getting guys shocked trying to work the wiring.
Whoa.
And
that's pretty major, because like if they come in, I mean, I'm an electric worker, you know, they're going to go in and they're going to shut off the box anyway, right. They know what they're going to do.
And they're going to make sure it's
that
dead.
Lets them know right. that it's not working, you know,
yes.
they don't want to fucking die.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, and then have them go the extra step of having them shut it off through the city, man. That's like, you know, cut it off from the grid. That's major. And if they're still getting shocked, dude, that's wild.
That is wild.
Right. So boss, like he wasn't really, it wasn't as much as a surprise to him as I would have expected.
Right.
That this happened to me where I got slammed in the chest like that. So he just, I got another haunted one. That was his response. It was,
wow, man.
It makes me wonder how many haunted houses that are out there that people don't know that they're haunted, but the realtors do,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEIR-WEIRD-STORY, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon, so just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook, show your love, show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
So like, they weren't surprised at all that I had this kind of experience. They were surprised at how severe it was that it left a bruise on them.
Right.
That's kind of what surprised everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
He went ahead and, you know, had me go through the company insurance and everything, go to the hospital and make sure there wasn't any, like, major, it was just a bruise kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's a good idea that he did.
Yeah.
Which also is also scary considering the fact that he took it that serious, you know?
Right.
That's a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
Cool that he did take it that serious, but it's also a little concerning that he did take it that serious.
Right. So. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, that was the experience, getting hit in the chest like that. Man. That was the experience that scared me the most. Yeah. As far as any of these.
Of course.
Because, I mean, for a week and a half, 2 weeks, I had a handprint bruise on my chest.
Man.
Dang.
Yeah, that would freak me out quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, what's even more interesting about that is, like, if it was an open hand, that's not, like, it's pretty soft. Not that it's not, there aren't hard parts of the bottom side of the hand, but, like, you're going to get bruises from knuckles. You know what I'm saying? No question.
Yeah.
But that means that thing would have had to shove you hard, man, to get that kind of imprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Definitely something that did not want me in that house. Definitely did not want me in that room.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, what did the guy the guy that was with you, did he see you get hit? Was he close to you at that point?
He saw me take a step back and start coughing.
Okay. So he saw,
because it knocked the wind out of him.
Right, of course.
Right.
Wow.
He probably just thought you got a dry throat or something.
Right, and then he saw me just walk right out of the house.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just like, nope, fuck this, nope.
Was he freaked out before when you were saying, I don't want to be in there? Did he feel that at all, or was that just you were the main one that was like, we need to get out of here? Like,
he didn't feel that.
Okay.
But he trusted that I wasn't bullshitting him.
Right. Yeah.
He was just, and the whole time he was just like, we'll be quick about this. We'll get this done as quick as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and then once I walked out and showed him the bruise, after that he's just like, nope, done.
Yeah.
Dude.
In a job like that too, you have to have trust with the person that you're working with. Any kind of environment like that where you're doing physical work, you know,
right.
you gotta have faith that the other dude's gonna be there to take care of his stuff. So you develop a working relationship like that. So, you know, that says a lot about that situation.
Well, I mean, to the point to where, you know, it's now 10 years after this experience, and I'm still friends with the guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you still talk about it? Do you talk about it with him?
Me and him have talked about it. And he told his wife about it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
He got married after this all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, after he got married, he's like, this is the guy I was telling you about that got punched in the chest by a ghost.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, man.
That's
great. I mean, not great, but crazy great. Well, because a lot of people don't talk about things like that. Like, once you see something with somebody else, sometimes people don't talk about it anymore. But the fact that you guys are still friends and you still talk about this means that you shared an experience together that nobody can, you know, nobody can doubt you for it. You know, you've got somebody to corroborate your story.
Right. Right.
That's intense.
And then
thought I was gonna sneeze.
And that wasn't my last experience. That was 10 years ago, and I'm still experiencing.
Okay.
That was my next question. Like, man,
let's find out. what do we got?
Well, the house I'm currently living in, there's something here. I don't know what it is. I can't see it. I can't feel it.
Okay.
But I've got two small dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that probably about once a week gets, they're terrified. These two dogs are legitimately freaking out.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, we get kids running through the yard. We get stray dogs running through the yard. The dogs charge at the windows and charge at the door. Mm-hmm. But when whatever this thing is in the house, these dogs are, they're hiding. They're hiding behind me. They're hiding behind the furniture. Fur on end. Terrified, whimpering.
Wow.
And it's kind of funny because, like, I'll look in the direction they're looking in mm-hmm. and be like, hey, you're scaring the puppies. Can you stop? And then usually within about 10 minutes or so, the puppies will calm down. It's like, okay, it left.
Wow. Now you're...
At least you got a good relationship with it, whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah.
Right, well, at least, yeah, what, you know, light.
Yeah.
So you said
it's
you...
Not slapping you in the chest. So.
Right. So you said you're not experiencing it, like, personally, but you're kind of experiencing it through your animals. You know, like... Right. So, right. Which is interesting because you seem like a pretty, in tune guy. You seem like if
right.
Which is weird. I just maybe for whatever reason you're not on the same frequency as whatever else is there, which is probably good, I would imagine, if they scare the shit out of the dogs. We just had a story about somebody in a similar situation with animals that freak out, and Her situation is a bit different because she can feel the darkness. It's like real, like heavy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any of that going on. I hope right. you don't.
Yeah.
No, nothing I feel. But I mean, that's just the dogs freaking out.
Right.
Yeah.
But still,
and it's kind of weird because like the dogs freak out, but the cat just kind of like glares at it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Cats just seem to really just not be bothered by much at all.
Right. Right.
Cats are like, ah, yeah. Ghost. Yeah. Ah,
right.
But, you know.
So. Yeah. I think my cat in particular just wants the dogs to shut up.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and in my house, it's in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like, corner of the living room. But yeah, they'll stare into this corner in the living room.
Is there a particular time?
Completely freaking out.
Is there a particular time of
usually
day?
Usually it's 8:30-ish in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's wild that they both react in the same manner at the same time. So there is something that they are both experiencing something. That is giving them the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's, man.
That is wild. You don't know anything about the place, do you?
Just that it's a very old house in an old small town. I think this house in particular is between 80 and 100 years old.
Okay. That's some time.
I think it's your cat. Could be mine.
Yeah, it's my cat. It's my cat. She's
doesn't want to be ignored. So.
You talking about me?
That's the hauntings I've experienced.
Uh-huh.
There are other things I've experienced in my life too.
Okay.
Awesome.
What I can best describe as past life dreams.
Okay.
Well, to the best of my understanding, past life dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The two in particular that I've had, and recurring. These are my only recurring dreams.
Mm-hmm.
About once a month. For as long as I can remember. The first one, the less scary of the two, is I'm in a group of about five people were Native Americans,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
running full tilt, through the forest. Just five people, mm-hmm. and it's full, you know, hide, shoes and pants and mm-hmm. like vest like things, running full tilt through the forest. And one of the kind of weird things about that particular dream is, as I've gotten older,
mm-hmm.
two of the other people in the group have somewhat been replaced with people I know.
Oh.
Huh.
Somewhat.
Interesting. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Somewhat. In that, like, I can still perceive them as the Native American that's always been in the dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I also perceive them as the person I know.
Interesting.
Quiet.
Hi, kitty.
I love your cat, by the way.
Wow.
She's adorable. She's a brat.
Yeah. I've got one of those, too. Do you have any Native American ancestry? Do you have any Native American blood in you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
There's a distinct possibility because one branch of my family has been in America as far back as anybody's aware of.
Okay.
So like fur trappers
mm-hmm.
back pre-revolution.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Now that's very possible then.
Very possible.
Right.
Yeah. It's been so long.
Now the one person that sort of became a different person, sort of,
mm-hmm.
is my cousin.
Okay.
And it's like I think I was about 14 when, like, the change in my perception of that one person, like, changed from mm-hmm. just being another Native American in this group of five to also being my cousin.
Uh-huh.
The other one is a former coworker of mine that it was like I met her and then I had that dream again about mm-hmm. 2 weeks after I met her, and it was just like it was the Native American, but it was also her.
Huh.
Hmm.
What's your relationship with her, or what was it with her? Was you guys close? You fairly close? Good connection, or
work friends?
Okay,
just kind of work friends, kind of thing.
Okay,
but in to try to understand these dreams that I've been having, I've done a lot of research
uh-huh.
into past life dreams, dream meaning, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I found was this theory that certain souls have connections
mm-hmm.
that transcend time, transcend lifetimes, that whole kind of thing. And it's very likely that these souls will meet again in a different life.
Mm. Right.
Right.
And so the best idea explanation I can come up with this is we knew each other in that life
where yeah.
we were the Native American group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right. we met again in current life.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't have a lot of background in reincarnation. I mean, I know a lot of the basics, I suppose, but yeah, and we've not really talked to anybody before that I can recall. So that's really cool. So yeah, this is all new and interesting stuff to me.
Yeah, I've met people before that have had they talk about those kind of things where you like, it just feels like you've met someone out, someone like that you've known them your whole life. And
right.
not to get too, you know, not to jump on the bandwagon or anything, but like, I kind of feel that with people that are close to me. Maybe that's why, you know, I keep a handful of people close to me, you know, friends, of course, my wife, you know, but, and usually there, and Adam is in this camp where before we started doing the podcast, we could not talk for a year. You know, but when we talk to each other, it's like you pick up where you left off,
yeah.
You know, and it's just like, yeah. You sort of are in this, you're in this wheel of motion that despite how much time has gone by, you share something with that person. I believe in that. I think the world and our universe is weirder than we have any idea. And that idea that you're talking about is the prophetic dream, or the the past life dream, or whatever it is. You know, it's like, for whatever reason, we're given these sort of hints or these crumb trails in life, and it's fascinating to see how people come to different conclusions about those things.
Yeah,
it really is part of the reason why I love doing this, is for that very reason.
Yeah. Now there's another entirely different, what I describe as past life dream.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That I've been having, I'm pretty sure, since I was about 4.
Wow.
Really before I can really remember, but when I started explaining this experience to my mother, just kind of decided, like, okay, well, that probably explains why you kept waking up screaming in the middle of the night.
Oh.
Because this one, I'm standing in the middle of a field.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... there's probably thousands of people dead and dying around
me. No. Wow.
And I look down at myself, and I'm wearing armor, and I've got a sword in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Both the sword and the armor are splattered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a noise to my left. I turn toward it, and something slams into my face, and that's the end of the dream.
Wow.
And for at least until I was 10, you know, that's going to wake you up screaming.
Yeah.
But then I did... You know, in my teenage years, and as I got older, I did some research looking into it, trying to figure out what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that from the armor design and the sword design and everything like that was Roman.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So we're talking about a while back.
Yes, this was ancient Rome.
Right.
And the thing that slammed into my face was, it's called I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Francesca.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a small throwing hatchet.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is the weapon that gave France its name.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay.
Was used by the Gaul people.
Okay.
And best I can figure out is during the time when Rome was expanding and conquering as much of Europe as it could, there was a battle in what was then Gaul, now France,
mm-hmm.
where the Romans didn't do so well.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And to the best I can guess, figure out, whatever, I was one of the soldiers that didn't survive the battle.
Right.
And died in a fairly violent way by taking a hatchet to the face.
Man, do you have it sort of narrowed down to a time frame at all? Have you gone that far with it?
Not really, mostly in that there's like four or five distinct different battles.
Mm-hmm.
It right. could be that the times in which I'm a little fuzzy on.
Yeah.
I'm bad with numbers.
Well, the Roman Empire really was kind of done by like at least 500 AD, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been AD, yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that because like I've heard these stories about, I don't know if you guys ever saw, there was a thing on TV, one of these sort of shows where they talk about past life stuff or whatever. And this kid, he claimed that he was a World War II bi-wing pilot. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he was mm-hmm. a young kid, man, and like old enough to talk and form, you know, just like barely sentences and stuff. But he would go into great detail about these air dogfights he was in, and nobody could figure, they're like, what are you talking about? And then they figured out, like, he was quote unquote legit. I don't know any of the backstory as far as if it had been vetted or whatever, but according to the show, mm-hmm. It was a really high strangeness type of a situation where they believed this kid, you know, was in it. Right. That's weird. That's bizarre, man. How often do you have that dream?
Lately, you know, as I get older, it's, you know, once every couple of months.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, pretty much up until about 7 or 8, it was probably once a week.
Wow.
Wow.
Damn.
And then, from about then till about 25, 27-ish, it was about once a month.
Okay.
And then since then, it's, you know, once every couple months.
Okay. Wow, man.
That's still a lot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And these two dreams are, like I said, my only reoccurring dreams. And they're the only dreams I remember after I wake up.
That's wild, dude.
That is wild.
I mean, I'll have things like, I've never had a dream that has definitely been a reoccurring dream. I'll have things that happen in dreams, you know, over again. And I think they're more symbolic than anything else. Right. You know, like your teeth falling out or, or like seeing a deceased relative and you talk to them like it's normal. And then you're like, oh, wait, I remember now you're not alive anymore or whatever. But, you know, that's how I interpreted it. But I mean, you know, it's so interesting to me that just the idea even of the recurring dream that happened over and over again. And it's so repeated. And it's just like, that sounds like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a circuit that's stuck in a loop, you know, or like on an old record when you got a scratch on the record and it keeps repeating and skipping back. Back at the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, and you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, people talk about time and what time is, and time is it's layered.
It's not linear.
Yeah. People get really into this stuff and they talk about how, like, the reason why you're able to, it's all happening at the same time. And so you're able to, like, through dreams or through this kind of stuff, sort of glimpse. I think that's interesting as hell. That idea of, you know, we're able to get this, information or whatever you want to call it through a dream state or a mental meditative state or what have you. But the fact that these stories like yours exist, and it's happened so many times, you've watched the hatchet come at you. You figured out what time period that is, or, you know, what it is that killed you. I just don't understand why else you would get that information. Why else would you how could you make that up? I'm sure you never saw that mm-hmm. hatchet before it hit you in your dream. I'm sure you, as a kid, you probably never saw.
Right. At 3 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I did when these dreams started,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3-4 years old, this, I didn't know what a Roman centurion soldier was. Right. I didn't know what, you know, the Francesco was.
Right. Wow, man.
You know, like, yeah. at those ages, like, I barely even knew what the color of blood was, but I knew I was holding a sword covered in blood in my hand.
Right. Wow. That's intense, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can't, like, my first memories when I think about it are, like, maybe two or three, but they're not that vivid. They're not that, like, once in a while I'll get a glimpse of it, but not like that, where it's over and over and over and over. That's insane, man.
Yeah. I'm the same, you know, I have early memories from being two or three, you know, but I don't have any kind of recurring dream memory where I would have something like that, and that's just, I don't know. I do have an old memory of Barry when we were probably about 4 years Uh-oh. Old, where I was at his house and in his room, and he said that he was thirsty, and so he instead of going to the kitchen, which was just down the hallway, he went straight into the restroom, and he stuck his head in the toilet and drank out of the toilet. And I said, "You're not supposed to do that, you know. You're not supposed to drink that water." And no. Barry said, "Well, the dog does it." So.
I was working on my immune system, man. I still do it to this day, but I don't let the wife know. I'm sure that's something that my sister probably coaxed me into doing something like that. Yeah, I'm sure she did.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
Leave it to siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Now, I do have some other weird experiences.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
These ones I can best attribute to possible extraterrestrials.
Okay. Okay.
The first one of which was probably, I want to say, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Probably August 2007.
Okay.
I'm sitting in a car with my mom at a stoplight. And it's one of those four-way stoplights. And all of a sudden, the stoplights start flashing like they do when there's like a power outage or something. where they just flash red. Mm-hmm. And there's like one car at each of the stoplights, and we're all just kind of sitting there trying to figure out what to do next. And a very large bird just dropped straight down. Just fell directly straight down out of the air and right into the middle of the intersection. Like this bird had flown into something and dropped straight down.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. So it's not like it. So when you first said it dropped down, I'm thinking like a bird of prey would just
Just swoop down.
But no, this
fucking like you dead. Mean it, like dead
ran into something or something. And just dead dropped. Like
This bird hit the ground and did not move.
Wow.
Just late. And I mean, like perfectly vertical, straight down.
Dang.
And like me and my mom kind of looked at each other and kind of looked up. Because like we both had the same thought, like that bird flew into something.
Right.
And nothing.
Wow, man.
Just sky. And this was like middle of the day.
Right.
Like
probably about noon-ish.
Okay.
I would say.
Wow.
And then about, you know, a couple minutes after that, the stoplights stopped flashing, started working like normal again.
Wow. That's weird, man. Like, what's weird about that? It's like, let's just say, like, birds have to die sometime, right? Some of them, I mean, if they die of natural causes. But, like, just let's just say that he had a heart attack or something. You know, I don't know what killed birds, but the path from flight would not be straight down.
Right.
Right.
You know, because even if it's a dead weight drop, his momentum's carried him so far where there's going to be a sort of an angle of some sort to his death, not like hit a brick wall. And because I've seen birds do that. I've seen birds hit windows, you know, and they just drop right there, you know, because they can't tell. And that's kind of what you described is that. But like, there's nothing for him to hit.
Yeah.
Nothing we saw. Nothing we could see.
And the lights were acting weird.
Right.
Wow.
That's strange. You know, and birds, when they fly, they use a part of their brain that's kind of like, it's kind of, I'm not a bird scientist, so I'm not going to get this completely right. But when they use the magnetic fields of the earth to fly, to navigate with, when they're flying. So, especially in the migrations and everything, but like something that, could maybe that bird did fly into something, maybe it was thrown off by something that was in the air that you couldn't see that was also having an effect on the electric fields or whatever of those lights, man. But you know, like Barry said, dude, like, you know, if anything in motion, if it's, you know, the only way reason it's going to stop and drop like that is because it's been stopped. He ran into something, and it does not have the ability to continue on in that direction, that momentum. It goes and it transfers to going down.
Yeah.
And it had to hit something hard.
Yeah.
Wow. That was my thoughts exactly when this all happened.
No. And how big of a bird was it? You said it was a big bird, but like, how do you any
like,
idea?
Like hawk. Like, it looked like a hawk.
Hawks are big birds, man.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how big a hawk is. I mean, hawk is, you know, it's a few pounds. It's a big freaking bird, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even the smaller hawks are pretty good sized. Pretty big.
Right.
But like if it's a big one, man, that's crazy.
Oh my.
Well, it's like, you know, like eagles, people don't realize how
they're huge.
Big eagles are.
Yes.
And their talons and all shit, but man. That's wild, dude. It had to hit something. There's just logic that it had to hit something. But then also, you know, if it couldn't have been too high up, again, because if it was very, very high up, it would have, on the way down, you know, picked up a different momentum, slightly at least, you know, to where it would come in at an angle just simply because the Earth is a globe and it spins, and, you know, and it's going to do that. But, like, just to come straight down like that, I mean, if it's, you know, it couldn't have been too high up.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is, man.
Is that something? Do you, do you talk to your mom about that? Do you guys ever go over that? Or is that just kind of.
We have talked about it since then. It's not something we talk about regularly.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's, we have talked about it since then.
Okay.
And she's also of the mindset that this bird flew into something.
Yeah.
Right.
And we just, we looked up, didn't see anything in the sky, just plain
wow.
sky.
Wow. That's crazy, man. Crazy.
Wild.
Wow. And now, the next possible extraterrestrial experience I had is a bit weirder because it involves the military.
Okay.
This was, I want to say, 2011. September-ish, I think. I was working overnights at a Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And the Walmart I worked at was not too far from Scott Air Force Base. Me and my coworkers were out having lunch. So this was midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Right after midnight. And one of the coworkers pointed out this one light we could see in the sky. They're just like, okay, that doesn't look like a star.
Mm-hmm.
So we all turn and look at it, and it, you know, looked like aircraft light.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it was moving was weird. It was that kind of jerky, kind of jolty light that you hear about in UFO stories.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, 90 degree turns and moving really ridiculously fast, and then just like hovering in one spot for a prolonged amount of time. And we're just, you know, for probably about a half an hour, because our lunch break was an hour, probably about a half an hour, we're sitting there watching this light dance in the sky.
Right. Yeah.
And then I hear a chopper coming from the direction of Scott Air Force Base, flying toward the light we could see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, what really weirded us out and had all of us just get up and go inside was the fact that this chopper had its spotlight going, pointed up.
Oh. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
That's unusual. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like that. Now, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, but like, that's wild, dude. I've seen some weird dancing lights like that, you know, that did some weird zigzag stuff and slowed down and sped off at ridiculous speed and do, you know, come into formation and then break apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, yeah, that's, you know, what you're looking at is not what we can do. Mm-hmm. We can do it if we're, you know, part of the George Lucas Industrial Lights and Magic special effects crew, but not in real life.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So. And for like a group of probably about 12 people,
damn,
all of us sitting there watching it for a half an hour.
That's quite a time. That is a long time.
Right. And then, you know, the chopper coming up, searchlighting the sky.
Yeah. That is bizarre.
That is very bizarre. And then, like, as we're watching, as this chopper is coming across, like, we look over at the chopper, and then we look back toward where the light was, and we watch the light just shoot away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just gone out of sight.
Yeah, wow.
In the space of probably about like 2-3 seconds,
right,
it's gone out of sight.
Wow.
What color did you say, what color the lights were?
I did not. Kind of pale yellow white.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Most like that was kind of one of the things that threw us off. Like, this isn't us, this isn't human, because aircraft lights, they have blue and red.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was just plain and simple a single pale yellow white light dancing in the sky.
What was the consensus of the friends? And everybody, was everybody like, oh my God, like UFO? Is that what everybody kind of thought?
We all agreed that that was the consensus. Like,
okay,
that's not human. That's not human technology right. doing right. that. Human technology cannot do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same light, the same dancing lights that I saw were the same color and seemingly behave the same way. But I saw them. I want to say 1996, somewhere around there, but in the summer, out in Oklahoma. But yeah, man, that's like that. That's so fascinating, because most UFO sightings that you hear about are less than a minute. You rarely get ones that go over a minute, but to see one for so long doing all of that is
easily a half an hour.
That's amazing.
Amazing. And that was just before we had the smartphones that would record everything and we do now. So,
in high def. Right. Yeah. What do you think? Have you seen the Navy tapes that they put out a couple months ago? Are you aware of that? The U.S. Navy?
I've heard about them. I have not watched
You them. Need to watch it.
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
It's very unusual.
Just and you will, yeah, you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That definitely sounds right up my alley. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, because this stuff is Navy. The Navy says, we don't know what that is. It's not one of ours, we don't know what that is.
And they were close to it. They were trying to catch it. They were trying to track it. And these anomalies have been spotted in this area. I think they were off the Pacific Ocean,
off the
coast of California or something. It was like a ways out there. But they said that for 2 weeks. They'd been dropping in from about 80,000 feet, because they pick them up on radar. They just appear on radar for about 2 weeks, and they could not figure out what the hell they were. And just so happened they were running a mission to do a mock sort of warfare, war games type thing out in the middle of the Pacific, and they popped on the radar, and they aborted the mission and asked one of the pilots to go and check this thing out. And so what you see is them recording them, filming the thing. And there's three different videos. The most fascinating video to me is when it's skimming across the water. This thing is hauling ass, man. Mm-hmm. And it's taken from above. The pilot is above the craft, as it's, you know, hovering above the water, but going an ungodly speed, like, and switching. And they talked about the switching directions and stuff like that. And he's like, he would just, like, all of a sudden, like, not something that we can do. Nothing, no technology that we know of, you know, so.
That's one of the things that really led me to believe that this was definitely not us.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you're seeing something and now, yeah, it looked pretty far away.
Yeah.
But when it's, you know, in one spot and then, like, almost to the point to where it looks like a stripe across the sky.
Yeah.
To a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then just, like, shoots, you know, straight up and then off in a different direction. And
yeah,
you know, like,
crazy. Wow.
We don't have the technology to maneuver like that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so that was,
that's awesome.
Those are my
weird experiences.
God dang, dude. That was,
you know, man, those were all awesome.
It was great.
It was a great variety.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like nothing that you searched for, sought out. It's just these are the things that have happened to you, and you were just able to be conscious enough and aware enough to notice that there's high strangeness going on, and it continues to go on around you. So,
yeah.
Yeah, then I fully expect there to be more in the future, because
sounds like it.
These have been going on my whole life.
Well,
and
when and if that happens, you come back on and
yeah, you know how to get a hold of us.
Fill us in, man.
Dude, because I gotta have somebody to talk to about this stuff.
Of course, of course. Well, and that's kind of what we do.
It, man. We love
it. That's what we do. We like to get people on and talk about things that you normally just don't talk about. It's kind of funny because we have a format that people gravitate toward, and they're saying, you know, hey, if I'm going to share it, I might as well share it on a podcast. You know, because we've had how many episodes are we at now? 60 what?
Well, no, by the time this comes out, we'll be in our
70s,
mid-70s.
And there's just been some great stories, and we're just flabbergasted by how many people have these. It's funny because when I'm listening to you talk, I'm listening to all these other stories go through my head about exactly what you're talking about. Basements and, you know, animals going crazy and, you know, lights in the sky that are doing some crazy ass shit. And I know, you know, I understand that people are highly guarded about those things and don't want to talk about it, don't want to believe it. But when you meet so many people with similar experiences, it's kind of hard not to say, this might be a possibility here.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And that's all we're trying to say is it might actually, these things might actually be happening, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we definitely, you know, we believe you when you're telling us, you know, and everybody else that comes on our show, we can, you know, we've been fortunate where we haven't had anybody try to, you know, do any creepypasta or kind of, you know, jerk us around, kind of make up stuff. You know, you can tell when you talk to somebody.
Yeah. They usually won't
in their voice,
on.
In their manners.
And, right.
You know,
they'll usually bail before they have to come on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So, and I mean, not everybody that's had to cancel has been that, but we've definitely had some people that bailed that, you know, because they can't back it up, you know, and they, you know, or they don't want to be found out or whatever, but like, you know, that's the, but we're not here for them. We're here for people who've had, like you and us too, who've had these real experiences that are unusual and bizarre and weird and unexplainable and are just, they're just fascinating, man, because, you know, we don't talk about this every day because you do get those weird looks and raised eyebrows and like, but they, you know, I mean, we've experienced it. That's our reality that we've gone through. And we know that's what you've experienced too. And we can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing, man, because those were fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this stuff.
You're welcome.
Like I said, hard for me to find people to talk about until I started getting on, like, mm-hmm. on Reddit and stuff like that,
yeah.
where,
yeah.
you know, these little communities of people that are willing to talk about it and
yeah.
willing to listen to the stories. And
sure.
Well, you know, it's like Barry and I have literally known each other all of our lives since we were babies. Before we were born, our moms were pregnant at the same time. And yet we both had our own weird experiences, and, you know, we didn't even mention them to each other. And, no. you know, and he's been my best friend forever, you know, but it's just one of those things where we had these experiences and we just was like, yeah, that's just a lot of times people just hold it close because it's so unusual and unexplainable and mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know, but talking about it and realizing it that, hey, just like everything else, I can connect to somebody else who's had some kind of unusual experience and will appreciate and understand and accept that this is the reality that I've gone through. You know, so.
Yeah. It's so, like,
man,
it's
we're
like,
there with you.
Dude. Yeah. It's like, man, I've had some weird shit. You had some weird shit too? Cool. Cause I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, you get, hey, welcome to Weirdsville, man. You got a lot of kindred spirits here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You got a, you got a house in the unhaunted part of our neighborhood, if you'd like. So I had a hard time getting that out. Well,
knowing my luck, it's not actually unhaunted.
Yeah. we'll make sure no ghost fisting. That sounds bad. No ghost fist.
And if it is a ghost fist, please keep it closed next time.
I think I've watched that movie.
Oh, man. Thanks again, Chris, man. Thanks for taking the time, dude, to come and hang out with us and talk.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
All right, man. Have a good night. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience. We can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
Great stuff. Great stuff, Chris. Dude. Thank you, Chris, for coming on and sharing your stories, man.
Yeah, man. That just amazing stuff. I don't even know where to begin. I guess the place to begin would be with the ghost assault, the ghost punch, the ghost fisting.
Right. Yes.
That's a lot. Yeah, because I mean, it seems to me that you rarely hear of actual physical contact with something like, you know, like a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And to be hit and, like, I think he said he knocked off his feet, but certainly bruised.
Mm-hmm.
And in such a handprint pattern, such a like that, you gotta hit pretty hard, man. And that's I'd be right with him, man. I could.
Yeah,
you know,
it takes a lot of energy to produce that kind of a impact, and it's like that just tells you what you're dealing with. You know, sometimes you watch these shows; these guys are, you know, trying to get these things to mess with them. You know, I was watching a thing the other day where they were trying to get this ghost to scratch this guy on the back of the neck or something like that, and they couldn't get it to do it. It you know, for whatever reason. And I'm just sitting there thinking, why would you want to do that? Why would you want something to touch you like that? Because you're just inviting an unnecessary thing into your life. Whereas, you know, Chris obviously had no idea what was going on. He was just there to take care of a job. And walked into an unsuspecting situation, and then boom, he gets hit with in the chest by this thing. And it's, gosh, again, these stories just really make me think about how careful people need to be when they're in these types of situations.
Yeah, you know? And he wasn't provoking or anything. Not at all. Like you said, he was just down there cleaning out a basement.
Yeah,
and of course the response of the landlord, the owner, the person that owned the place was like, "Oh, great, I got another one."
Yeah, he knew. Yeah,
that's just
right. Isn't that crazy?
Man.
But that's the kind of stuff I guess you would deal with if that's the kind of work that you're in. But yeah, I thought the other thing that was pretty crazy is this past life dreaming kind of stuff that he's got going on, and he's got it so dialed in, like he knows the story, he's done the research. And
he's had it so often that he's, you know, very, very conscious and aware of it.
Right.
And, you know, and it seems like it's not something that, I guess he's just only observing more, you know, mm-hmm. as it goes on. So,
yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. I've never really had that. I might have had a repeating dream possibly, but I don't think I've ever had this just over and over and over running reel of a past situation or whatever. I do find those really fascinating stories. They had that show on, I think we talked about a little bit, or we did at some point, about they would do those past life regression therapy things, and some kids, you know, that would have these weird, like, you're not really old enough to understand anything about history, but yet recalling specific, you know, like World War I fights. And it's just, that stuff blows me away. Blows me away, man. We were fairly certain how long the Roman Empire lasted, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It sounded good at the moment. And I think we were also kind of wrapped up. And it sounded like, sure, let's go along with it. Well, we're going to be cracking down on our own selves here. Calling our own selves out for our lack of knowledge.
How dare us take liberties? And we did. We took liberties. What are we going to do?
But, you know, for historical accuracy, the Roman Empire officially ended, dissolved on May 29, 1453, according to the Wikipedia. And then, of course, it transitioned over into the Holy Roman Empire, which lasted for quite a bit longer. So, just for historical notes, and I love historical notes like that. So, I want to correct it. And also don't want to avoid people coming back and actually, because, you know,
right.
We've all done that and it really sucks. Actually.
Right. So, well, that's a hell of a run for the Romans. I mean, Christmas. But that, but it's just so crazy that he puts himself back in that time period with those dreams. And it's just, I don't know what I would do if that were me. I think that I would be spinning my wheels quite a bit trying to figure all that out. But that's the crazy thing about the world that we live in. The weird things sometimes that we can't explain are just, until we find out, we'll spend our days sort of trying to come to these conclusions without actual knowledge.
And maybe it's not past lives. Maybe he's like got some kind of glitch in the matrix that he's experiencing while he's asleep. Who knows? But dude, I'll tell you what, another thing, he had so much, but the one thing that really got me was besides the ghost assault, was the UFO with the helicopter chasing after it with the with its spotlight towards the sky. That's crazy stuff, man.
That is crazy.
That's what I love hearing, man. I love hearing the UFO stuff,
of course. Well, and now that we have proof that our government at least admits to being, you know, something out there that they can't explain.
Exactly.
It sort of, all those stories just become more powerful. And then you got the bird that hit the energy field or whatever it was that dropped down with his mom. That's bizarre. I mean, we've all seen birds in flight, and for one just to drop out of the sky like that, just dead drop.
It's not flying anymore. No,
it's so strange. So strange. But yeah.
And I'll tell you what else, dude. I'll tell you what else. I really enjoyed the his special guest, Kat, coming on.
Yeah, yeah, that was nice. That was great. No, man.
All right, well, should we wrap it up, man?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, Chris. Thanks again for coming on. Anybody that's on Reddit, please get in touch. We'll try to get on there and conduct ourselves in a manner that is friendly to the Reddit world and Reddit conscious, if you will. And
And we'll try to figure out how to do that, too. So
right.
All right, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next week for more spooky, scary, haunted house stuff with our guest, Jess. Some really cool stuff. We had a great conversation with Jess, and it's cool. It's good. It's got a lot of really interesting. Her stories are really cool. So
yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, have a good week until we see you hear our voices. In the meantime, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.